Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Bobby at the Silver Slipper in Hancock County, Mississippi. I'm in studio, and joining us now is the defensive line coach, Bo Davis. Jay Rogers coaches the edges. Bo Davis coaches the interior, played at LSU, coached at LSU in 24. How are you? I know you wanted a victory yesterday, Coach, but how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We're doing well. So you've had a chance to see it again, really kind of dive into the tape from yesterday. Give us your thoughts, high points, low points.
Well, I mean, I thought the guys played really hard. I mean, they really got after it. You know, I thought they competed. And, you know, it was a lot of great things that we learned from this tape and that we're going to build on. And so we're just going to keep working and keep getting better at what we're doing.
Now, Bo, when you're looking at, they got to do all the dirty work, and you part of the one that helps motivate them, but they should be self-motivated if you truly are pro's pro. But, you know, Godshaw might be the one we're all familiar with, but I thought Nate Shepard was outstanding yesterday in his role. Just about when you looked at breaking down the film. And, you know, we're familiar with him, but he's kind of quiet, didn't really want to talk to the media or nothing. But I thought Shepard was outstanding yesterday.
Yeah, Shepard, man, is playing at a real high level. Right now he's really doing a great job. I mean, you know, he's playing, you know, playing really good right now. And we like where he's at right now. He's doing a lot of good things, pushing the pocket, you know, and being violent at the point of attack.
Now, Coach, how does that work? Because you have to be ready when called upon, whether you're on the practice squad, you could be active or not. But what is your role as far as, let's say you conduct in a practice, and it might be scout team defense, you're trying to give a good look for Kozaya and then Easton Kitty. Here you got two rookies, one from Penn State, and then you look at, now, the offensive tackle from Kansas State, but how do you coach young guys like that and keep them motivated? You just tell them, hey, you want to be a pro? This is like your game day during the week or what?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it of it is you know, every day you're competing, and their motivation at this is not like college. You know, you study the game every day, but, you know, it's like you get guys, they understand their roles, and they come in and do their roles, and you know, they keep getting better every day until their number's called. I mean, and you talk to them and you support them and you continue to help them grow and get, and, you know, become better football players.
Same thing with kind of Christian Boyd. I mean, yesterday Christian and Vernon were inactive, and Coach Moore said, well, sometimes it's a numbers thing. It doesn't necessarily mean a lot, but Christian Boyd had probably, you know, an excellent training camp, couple of sacks. Have you kind of seen his development and his growth push forward?
Oh, yes, tremendously. You know, from OTAs through the whole thing, I mean, I've seen him grow and grow and grow. And, you know, just like Coach Keller said, it's all about numbers. And, you know, we want to do the things that we got to do to get the best players on the field.
Now, Coach Davis, look at last year. And I think the Houdat Nation and fan base, they look at, boy, Brian Brzee can become that complete defensive lineman if he plays better against the run. From the interior, amongst the best in NFL, 7.5 sacks. It seems like we know he always could do that, whether his technique a little high maybe, and get knocked off the ball and run support. But where do you think Brian Brzee's at right now? He comes up with a very athletic play, and he blocks the field goal. You know, he had two total tackles, one unassisted. But where is he at? Because that's what the fans are more concerned with, because we know he can rush the passer. But as far as his run responsibilities, run defense.
I think, you know, Brian is really in a good place right now. I think that's one of the things that he attacked in the offseason, and he wanted to make his game complete. And we really, really went at it. And I think right now where he's at right now, he's steady developing, steady getting better at it. And, you know, the one thing about him of it is he loves the challenge of trying to get better at something, and he's really working at it. And I think right now he's sitting in a good place right now. We just got to keep working, keep getting better at it.
Now, Coach Davis, we talked to him during training camp in California. This was kind of fun. He comes up to the podium with no shirt, and I'm not saying he was chiseled, but he was confident in that being Ridgeway. And while you and him, you had some stories going way back with Coach Davis, talk about recruiting and all that. We got him in the trade from the Commanders from Washington. But Ridgeway, now he's on IR. But, boy, it seems like you and him had a relationship going way back. When can you convince him to come to your school or he goes somewhere else? But he said, yeah, I hope Coach Davis wants to keep me.
No, I love Ridgeway, man. He's a funny guy, man, and I love having him in the room. You know, he always brings a presence when he comes in there. And, you know, I recruited him, you know, when he was in college. And so we kind of had a good relationship started then, but I really love having him here. I think he's developing into another player that will be able to help us down the road.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Probably nobody other than yourself would have such a inside knowledge on two of the draft picks. So it's kind of separate. One, Vernon Broughton. So you were at Texas 21-23. He played basketball really till his sophomore year in high school. So, you know, not new, but, you know, certainly from a high school standpoint. But 21-22-23. And then I'm going to ask you about Kelvin Banks because same thing. Tell me what you saw in Vernon Broughton. You know, as you came to this job, that you knew he was a guy that you wanted on your team.
I mean, just, you know, with Vernon, the growth that he had from when I got to Texas with him, and I knew he had the upsides. Just coaching him, you know, I could play him in various places. It didn't bother him. You know, he's kind of one of those flex players that you can move around. And, you know, I just saw how, you know, his length, the size he was, and, you know, he could strike blocks and play with his hands. And the thing about him is the basketball really helped his athletic ability. And you can see the guy in pass rush. He can bend. And you wouldn't think it with a big guy like that with small ankles like that. But that's why I always called him chicken legs because, you know, he's a guy that can, you know, he's got quickness and he's slippery. And I used to tell him all the time, I says, nothing can do that but a chicken. You know, when you try to catch him, you can't really catch him because they're moving around. And I said, you bite like a chicken.
Well, you know, Coach, that's going to stick. You got to watch those kind of nicknames, man. They stick like that. You know what I mean? Kelvin Banks, though, so he's a guy that you had to defend every day in practice. You're looking at Kelvin Banks. And I'm sure, you know, you are somebody they went to and they, you know, draft night. And, you know, tell me about his progression.
I mean, Kelvin was, you know, as Kelvin growing up, you know, there and near Summer Creek. And, you know, I got a chance to see him when he was younger. And the thing with Kelvin was he's just super athletic. You know, that was the thing about him. And, you know, you saw it when he was in high school, how well he moved on the field and his athletic ability, you know, with playing basketball as well. But, you know, when he got to college, I had to go against him every day, one-on-one pass rush. And, you know, he was just – you know, we really didn't have anybody that could really beat the guy on the corner because he was so fluent the way he moved and the way he could go back and catch his balance when one get the bull rush at him. He could get his balance, get his hands in the right place. But just seeing the athletic ability of this guy, just, I mean, you saw it and you knew this guy was going to be a good football player and have a chance to play on Sundays.
Now, Coach Davis, when you look at all the football that you've witnessed, you know, you got quarterback on the offensive side of the ball, quarterback on the defensive side. Usually that's the linebacker, the player with the dot on his helmet. He's communicating to all the players. What is your impression as you got to know him? He ain't playing like no 36-year-old double D, DeMario Davis. That guy plays a lot of fire. Arkansas State, Jonesboro, Mississippi boy, find you wherever you at. And DeMario Davis, he's like a fine wine. He just seems like he's getting better with age.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, that guy is just a total impact player. I mean, he brings energy every day. You look at him, you don't look at him as a guy that's been playing as long as he's been playing. But, I mean, he's got passion. He's got juice every day. He brings it to the squad. The guys rally around him. The guys being around him, being how he is every day, and you walk downstairs, you see him studying the game because, you know, I'll stick my head in there every now and then. He's in the linebacker room studying, trying to get ahead on tips and everything. He brings it every day. He's a pleasure to be around, and just the energy that he brings to the group is so impactful.
Coach, you got San Francisco coming to town. We'll know a lot about the injury situation. Brock Purdy maybe has a turf toe. Not sure. Both teams, nothing to learn until we really find out on Wednesday. So you prepared for Kyler Murray. You knew about his speed, about his running ability. He ran it 78 times last year in 24. Brock Purdy ran it 66 times, 5 touchdowns. So you might not think of him running the ball as much or as close to Kyler Murray, but you know that it's something you'll have to contend with, assuming that he plays on Sunday as well.
Yeah, I mean, two different kind of runners, two different kind of running back, quarterbacks. And you got to defend these guys because that's pretty much what you see every week. When you look at it, it's not any. The guys that just sit back there now, you got guys that's got, ability to move around and as you rush them, and you got to sit down and have a good rush plan. And the thing for us was we didn't, you watch the tape on Kyler Murray, he got a lot of his escape lanes. They would come up the middle some, because they would open up and give him a lane. And I think one of the things that, Coach Staley did and all of us and Jay, we got our heads together and we sit down and, came up with a good rush plan to try to keep this guy in the pocket and try to push the middle of the pocket to force him out to where the speed is, not let him run up inside. That was one of the things that we really kind of focused on to try to make to try to keep him in the pocket.
Well, Coach, you got a couple old codgers and Bobby Hebert and myself. I covered LSU when you played for Mike Archer and Curly Holman, so I really appreciate you spending some time with us tonight talking about your players, talking about the future. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.